Everybody,
it is 6:30. So a very warm welcome to this evening's cabinet meeting. So item number one is to receive apologies for absence. However, I can see that everything is here. So I shall move on to item number two, which is declarations of interest. Are there any questions? No? Okay. Item number three is to approve as a correct record the public minutes of the meeting held on the 15th of November 2021. Those have been circulated. I would like to propose that we accept those as a correct record. Second, Councillor Peters. Any comments on the minutes? No, all those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous from voting members, thank you. Okay, thank you. So item number four then is to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. I have not been made aware of any urgent business. Okay. So item number five then is the forward plan, Chief Executive.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the 1st of December right the way through to the 31st of March 2022. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions on the forward plan? No? Okay. Thank you. That takes us then to item number six, which is the quarter two revenue and capital outturn report for 21-22. And I'll ask Lisa to turn that to you.
Thank you again. So this report covers the quarter two forecast position for the current financial year, covering revenue and capital budgets, treasury management activities, as well as the summary of the key corporate strategic risk base in the authority. Section four of the report covers the revenue budget. The budget for the current year was balanced, taking into account 1.1 million from reserves. This included a corporately held provision of 1.3 million against estimated COVID-19 pressures, recognizing that there was a high degree of uncertainty in this regard. At this halfway stage of the year, the report continues to highlight significant forecast COVID-19 pressures on service budgets. However, after taking into account the corporately held COVID provision, the overall position at quarter two means that 0.4 million would need to be drawn down from reserves to balance the budget. Overall, the forecast outlook for the year is therefore better than was anticipated when the budget was set. This is largely due to the success of the vaccine rollout in terms of reopening the economy and preventing further restrictions or lockdowns. It remains to be seen whether this continues for the remainder of the year, particularly bearing in mind recent developments in relation to the pandemic. The most significant changes in the overall forecast since quarter one relate to a forecast windfall in income from recycling due to a significant uplift in commodity prices, as well as a very positive performance during the quarter associated with leisure provision delivered by Everyone Active. Narrative in respect of the most significant variations is shown at paragraph 4.2 of the report in the normal manner, bearing in mind that the budgetary provision for COVID pressures is held corporately and reported at paragraph 4.3. Section 5 of the report covers treasury management activities and shows our investments at the end of September stood at 60.8 million, with a rate of return of around 0.06%, reflecting the market at present. The full schedule investments is attached to Appendix B in the normal manner, and external borrowing remains at 11 million. The report highlights that we have received the final dividend from the remaining Icelandic investment, which, in line with our expectations, is consistent with the allowance already built into our accounts. Overall, treasury management activities are in line with the approved treasury management strategy. Section 6 of the report covers the capital programme, and it sets out expenditure against a programme of 9.4 million. There is a small cost increase reported against the fleet replacement programme, and the report recommends funding this from in-year capital receipts. Family Section 8 covers risk management, and Appendix C is a schedule of the most significant corporate strategic risks faced by the authority, together with the measures taken to manage these risks. This covers the key points in the report. In summary, whilst indications continue to suggest a favourable position against the in-year budget, the forecast means that we will still need to utilise reserves to balance the budget. Members will be aware that there continues to be significant risk and uncertainties in the financial outlook beyond the current financial year. There are a number of recommendations for Cabinet to consider at Section 12 of the report. I'm happy to take any questions through you, Lisa.
Thank you very much indeed, Lisa. So obviously we have, as the report says, considered this report on the 22nd of November and again on the 1st of December. So are there any further questions or thoughts? Councillor Allen.
Thanks. Just to clarify in 2.1 where it says overall reduction in the drawdown from reserves, is that we started the year with having to use reserve $1.1 million of reserves, and now midway through the year, we're now only at least this point only relying on £400,000 of that now.
That's right.
Yes.
So based
perhaps,
on the current
form. Perhaps by the end of the year it might be even better than that. Not such a black hole after all.
Thank you. It's probably worth also pointing out that when the report was written in advance of the 16th of November, that nobody had ever heard of the Omicron variant. I guess there is a degree of uncertainty within there too. Right. If there are no further questions, comments, I'm going to propose the recommendations as set out in section 12. So that's to note the financial forecast position in quarter two in relation to revenue and capital budgets, together with the financial impact and uncertainty that continues to exist due to the COVID-19 pandemic. To approve additional capital funding of £27,000 from in-year capital receipts to support the purchase of waste vehicles, to note the latest position in respect to the Council's investment and borrowing, and to note the corporate and strategic risks together with the actions being taken to manage these. Can I have a second for Councillor Allen? All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous from the voting members. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lisa. Okay, that takes us then to item number 7, which is the Corporate Plan Performance Report 21-22, quarter 2. And I'll hand over to Dan Arnold to present.
Thank you, Leader. The purpose of the report is to provide an update on progress halfway through the 2021-22 financial year towards achieving the priorities set out in the Council's Corporate Plan. There are 129 indicators in total for the three corporate priorities. Each target has been graded using the usual red, amber, or green scoring system. So out of the 129 targets, 102 are green, 4 are amber status, 1 is red status, 21 are not yet due to be reported, and 1 has been deferred. So of the 107 live targets, 95.33% are green, 3.74% are amber, and 0.93% are red. Full performance information on all the corporate indicators can be seen in Appendix 1. However, a summary for each of the corporate priorities and cabinet portfolios is shown in Table 2, paragraph 5.4. Paragraph 5.5 details the targets that have been given a red or amber status for quarter two, and an update is provided for each target. Table 4, paragraph 5.6, highlights the target that is recommended for deferral. It's recommended that indicates that VFM 65 is deferred to September 2022. The table at paragraph 5.7 highlights the target that is recommended for approval. It's recommended a target of February 22, be adopted for VFM 57, which was previously set as to be agreed post contract award. The recommendations are paragraph 12 of the report. So, in summary, a very positive performance report for quarter two of this financial year.
Thank you very much indeed. Any questions or comments? Okay, in which case I will propose the recommendations as set out in section 12, so it's to consider the performance at the end of the second quarter of 21-22 financial year towards achieving the council's corporate priorities, to defer target for BFM 65 to September 2022, and to set a target for February 2022 for BFM 57. Have a second for that. Alan, all those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous from voting members, thank you. Okay, item number 8 is Beyond Communications, a strategy for communication, engagement and consultation.
Thank you. The purpose of this report is to provide an overview of the proposed strategy for communication, engagement and consultation. The strategy provides a long-term strategic overview of the Council's approach to communications, engagement and consultation, building on various previous communications and digital strategies. The strategy is designed to guide the Council on how it communicates, engages and consults with members, officers, residents and partners. It aims to build trust with stakeholders, improve communication, enhance engagement and showcase how effective communication is linked intrinsically to stronger engagement and consultation. The strategy provides us with the opportunity to introduce a communications campaign model, which we use as a basis for communicating our key objectives, campaigns, and initiatives. The model provides a structure that ensures our communications are consistent, clear, and reflective. In order to deliver our communication objectives, we've undertaken a number of actions through three themes. And these are, this is understanding our audience's sense of place, communicating effectively, and measuring success. A detailed programme plan for the strategy set out at section 4 of the strategy document, and this describes a number of initiatives which are linked to various activities under each of those three themes. This is an initial programme plan which will naturally evolve over the lifetime of the strategy. So in summary, this strategy provides the Council with a really good opportunity to enhance our communications, enhance our engagement, enhance our consultations. Take any questions.
Thanks. Okay, so again, discuss this on both the 16th of November and the 1st of December. Are there any other questions, comments? Okay. In which case, I would like to propose the recommendation as set out in section 11, and that is to approve the communications, engagements, and consultation strategy, and to review the strategy following the completion of place branding exercise. And a second for that, please. Councillor Peters, thank you. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous from voting members. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tim. Okay, item number 9 then is the year 1 parks review development plan. And over to Mark Risk to present.
Thank you, Leland. This report sets out the first year of the parks development plan. The plan at Appendix A sets out a series of objectives for the development and enhancement of parks across East Staffordshire. Notable successes in the first year include scores for the It's Your Neighbourhood Park scheme, which have increased by 39%, increase in volunteering opportunities that have been developed across the borough, wildflower, tree and sustainable planting have been created to visually enhance the borough, and these have been well received by our residents. The team have also established a tree nursery in both Burton and Uttoxeter, and with the support of those volunteers mentioned earlier, have potted 500 tree whips ready for planting. Many of the actions within the plan are to be delivered within existing budgets and the use of Section 106 monies when available. Examples of the use of this type of funding are illustrated by examples such as replacement bins, new totems on the Kingfisher Trail, and an enhanced cricket ball fencing netting on Anglesey Park. The recommendation of the report is to note the one-year plan and progress on the plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lots of positive stuff in there. Any questions or comments? Councillor Ashworth.
Yeah, I'd just like to say it's a really good first year of the report. It's really excellent. And I'd like to thank the officers and all the team for all their hard work. It's been a really difficult 12 months if you take the impact of the pandemic on board. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Okay, so the recommendation is the note. Are members happy with the note? Yep. Okay, thank you. Item number 10 then is a review of the housing strategy 2021 to 2025, and that's right to present.
Thank you, Leader. This report reviews the housing strategy 2021 to 25 for accuracy and relevance. The housing strategy provides the council's vision for housing in its area. It is a high-level document that brings together all the activities in the council that contribute to the housing agenda, describing our approach and providing an overarching framework against which other policies and more specific housing issues are formulated. The strategy sets out four priorities, reviewing the current positions and setting out the actions we are taking to achieve that priority. The priorities are housing supply is promoted in line with the local plan and including the utilisation of Section 106 commuted sums, capitalise on existing housing resources, which is facilitation of a high quality private rented sector and bringing empty homes back into use, maximising housing options for households on a low income, which includes access to social affordable housing, support for housing costs, and improving access to home ownership. Securing suitable housing for people with vulnerabilities. This includes adaptations and disabled facilities grants, access to older persons' accommodation and supported housing. The review document at Appendix 1 supplies a RAG rating to each item, a description of the activities related to this item, and then the rationale for the RAG rating that has been awarded. In summary, there were 10 items on track, 3 items experiencing mild deviation, and 0 items experiencing deviation. The recommendation is to note the finding that the housing strategy 2021 to 2025 remains accurate and relevant. And with that, I'll hand back to you, Leader.
Thank you very much indeed, Brett, and thank you for the detailed report as ever. Are there any questions? Okay, so the recommendation is that we note the finding that the housing strategy remains accurate and relevant. Are members content to note that? Yes, thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Right, item 11 is the refreshed housing allocations and housing register overview. Still with Brett.
Thank you, Leader. This report seeks adoption of the revised housing allocations policy at Appendix 4 for implementation from the 1st of January 2022 and provides an update on the performance of the Staffordshire Housing Register. A small number of revisions are proposed to the current allocations policy. The primary revision will require that the allocation of larger properties is to be determined in the same way as other sizes of property. This change should not disadvantage larger families in unsuitable accommodation, as their housing need will be reflected through their priority banding. There was only one response to the consultation, which was positive about the proposed changes. Applications to join the East Staffordshire Housing Register have taken place online since the 22nd of September 2020. This change has dramatically improved access, resulting in an almost twofold increase in the number of applications on the Housing Register in the past 13 months. The monthly rate of applications at approximately 300 per month should be contrasted with an average 500 social rented properties available for let in any given year. Therefore, the following outcomes are possible. The number of applicants on the housing register continues to grow as more applications are received than accepted for housing. Everyone who wants to be on the housing register has now successfully applied, and the number of applicants reduces month on month, or the number of housing numbers on the housing register to reduce as those lower down the priority list close their application, possibly at the point of annual review. As the volume of application remains a concern, it is proposed to provide an update on this matter in 2022, in particular following the anniversary and therefore annual review of many of the digitally submitted applications. The increase in applications has necessitated some changes to the way applications are processed. These reforms to processes and procedures are being implemented in a staggered way and are likely to improve the efficiency with which the service is delivered. The reformed operational practices can briefly be described as follows. Trust, priority banding to be based almost entirely on applicant supplied information with evidence required up current and only a small minority of selected instances. The applicant is then active and appears on match lists on the basis of auto-banding, even at the higher bands, such as band one. Verification. Documents will only be collected at the point of being allocated a property. The applicant will be made aware at the point of application so that they know what information will be needed to verify their details should they match. This ensures that current information is collected from applicants and only when it is required. Reducing the amount of information collected overall, in particular doing away with some information that is currently required, such as risk assessments and private rented sector landlord references. And then medical welfare priority, improving the specificity of that banding criteria such that it lends itself to the applicant awarding their own banding with a reasonable degree of clarity. The above changes have been gradually phased in over the past 6 months without issue. The recommendation is that the revised housing allocations policy at Appendix 4 be adopted. And with that, I'll hand back to you, Leader.
Thank you very much indeed, Brett. Are there any questions or comments on that one? Okay, thanks. That's the report for it. So the recommendation is, which I will propose, is that the revised housing allocations policy at Appendix 4 be adopted. I have a second, Councillor Faulkner. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous from the voting members. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, Brett.
Thank you.
Okay, so on then to item number 12, which is the third annual Disabled Facilities Grant for me, and ask Rachel Little to present.
Thank you, Leader. This report provides a review of the Disabled Facilities Grant Service and seeks approval for amendments to Disabled Facilities Grants and Assistance Policy and an additional temporary one full-time equivalent housing adaptations officer post and one full-time equivalent support officer post for 2 years. The in-house DFG service began on the 1st of April 2018, which administers the full adaptation process. It aims to provide significant benefits to service users by reducing the time taken to undertake adaptations and the costs associated with administering the service through the use of approved contractors and reduced administrative costs. Since the initial setup of the service, performance has been continually monitored and corrective action taken for any challenges that have arisen. As a result, the timescales associated with delivery has significantly reduced, and the number of DFGs being granted and completed has continued to increase. This has resulted in an increased spend of £741,000 compared to £581,000 in 19-20. Figure 1 shows the DFG timescales for the previous 5 years, which demonstrates an overall reduction since bringing the service in-house, although there has been a slight increase due to COVID in 20-21 from 291 working days to 309. However, it should be noted that the current timescales have been significantly affected by delays which are outside our control, such as client delays associated with preferred works, landlord permission being granted, and external OT assessments associated with complex adaptations. The timescale labelled with an asterisk highlights the impact of external OT delays, whereby 5 cases have been removed due to significant delays in the assessment process, which is outside our control. This reduces the timescales from 309 working days to 255. To reduce these delays, we've discussed the process with the Children's OT Service to review the date that is reported as the start of the DFG process and have advised Trent and Dove to ensure clients are aware that an alternative OT assessment is available if required. The policy has also been amended to increase discretionary assistance for complex children's adaptations and to amend the process associated with preferred works. COVID has also had a significant delay on processing DFGs due to the majority of clients having to shield. Whilst we have promptly redesigned the process to enable the service to continue, there has been an estimated 12-week delay to the majority of cases, which can be seen in Table 4, with increased timescales associated with completing works as contractors were unable to start works on site. Paragraph 5.21 also discussed the impact of complex works on timescales, and as the amount of complex adaptations have doubled, a number of cases have unavoidable longer timescales compared to simpler grants that are being completed in an average of 110 working days compared to over 250 working days for complex works. A comparison of timescales against neighbouring authorities is provided in Figure 4. Using the same reporting process for the same period of time, our figures show that the process from request to approval and request to completion is significantly shorter. However, figures 5 and 6 show that compared against comparable authorities, our timescales are one of the longest, although it does demonstrate a significant reduction in timescales, which is now more in line with other authorities. A comparison of spend in Table 5 also demonstrates that whilst we have a lower amount of completed cases, our overall spend is one of the highest. And Figure 7 shows that we have one of the highest percentage expenditure against grant received. The recommendations are to approve a temporary one full-time equivalent housing adaptations officer and one full-time equivalent support officer post for 2 years, funded using the Disabled Facilities grant received, and to approve the amendments to the Disabled Facilities Grants and Adaptations Policy to provide clarity for client-referred works and to increase the amount of discretionary top-up funding to £20,000 and £50,000 for exceptional children's adaptations and increase the relocation funding to £10,000. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much indeed, Rachel. Thank you for the detailed report. The proposals going forward, which I'm confident will continue to improve the service. Are there any other questions or points? Councillor Metcalfe.
I'd just like to thank Rachel for all her hard work and getting us prepared, and hopefully we can go motoring on in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So as Rachel very eloquently read out the recommendations already, I won't do so. So I propose the recommendations as set out in section 12. Second, Councillor Peters. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous from voting members. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, Rachel.
Thank you.
Okay. Which brings us to the end of the agenda. So I shall conclude the meeting and wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.